In Section 3, we're going to talk about how to get started in other distribution channels so that you get the data you need to be able to get into the mass market when you are ready.
Is the goal of this section to prove some product sales, to have some ammunition, some proof before I approach Walmart or any of the buyers at these mass merchandisers so I can show them hard numbers that this product sells? Is that what we're trying to accomplish in this section?
We're trying to do a couple things. One is to get the data that we need to prove to Walmart or Target that they should take our product because we've proven it'll sell. The other thing we're doing is, remember in the prior section I talked about financial capability. Well, one way to get the financial capability is to build up your business. So what I did with my company, I did not start with a mass market. I didn't have the financial resources to do that. I started selling gift and stationery stores and built up 8,000 or 9,000 independent retail customers where the product was blowing through the stores and doing great, built my company up to about 3 or 4 million in sales before I started approaching the mass market. So there's two things that this will help you do. One, prove it sells. And two, build your business and sales up so that you have the financial capability to do business with them. You may be thinking, again, just like in the last section, that this is too much, you're not going to be able to do it. But remember, we had five ways of how you get into these stores. What we're talking about right now is the building of a company way, which is the most expensive, highest profit way. But don't forget, you can license an idea or you can use several of the joint venturing capabilities as a way to do this. And that may be the best way to find another company that is already in some sort of retailer that can test your product.
So let's talk about some of the ways. Can you start with some ways that I can test distribution inexpensively?
Sure. We have a number of different ways you can test something inexpensively. One way would be to go online, sell products on the internet using traffic from Google AdWords to find out if people will buy it. Another good way, if you have the product far enough along that you have your packaging done, is to put your product in some small independent stores on consignment. If you put it in the store and tell the store owner you'll just put it there for free and you share the money, or maybe even let them have all the money when it sells. That's another way to get a test, and most independent retailers will cooperate with that, especially if you give them the money. And for those of you who are not familiar with consignment selling, what that means is you put the product in the store at your expense, and then when the store sells it, you keep track of the sales, and there's two ways of going. One way is you split the money with the store, and the other way is you give them all the money. And that is part of the negotiation of getting it in there in the first place. What you're wanting to find out is if your product will sell, and you're wanting to get it on the shelf so that you can find that out. In the sticker business, one of the ways we got started and found out what would sell, when we talk about product development a little later, I'll tell you how I can make sure I didn't have any new product failures. But what it all comes down to is market testing. And I was able to easily convince a store to put my products in. All I had to do was say, I'm going to put in this big floor display of stickers. This thing's worth $1,000. I'm not going to charge you any money. You can pay me after they sell, and you get 75% of the sale instead of 50%. So it's a no-risk thing to them. Then what I was able to find out is, what did people buy? And we had a lady at our company whose only job was to stay in touch with these stores. We called them our market test stores. We had about a couple hundred market test stores all over the country. And we put a product in there, and she would call at least once a week to every store to find out how many it sold. The thing you want to do when you do this consignment testing is you want to make sure there's always product there to sell. If you have a display that holds a dozen of something and you put it in 10 stores and at the end of 2 months half the stores are sold out and the other half aren't, what you really want to know is, when did those half sell out? If you didn't check it for 60 days, they might have sold out in a week, or they might have sold out in 60 days, and that makes a huge difference. You need to know that. Like we were with stickers, we had many different designs. A single display would hold 128 designs. So we needed to know, which designs did people buy? We're creating little pieces of artwork here. What do people like? So the way you do that is you put your display up with 128 designs on it, and you make sure you have no out-of-stocks. You make sure you're in touch with that store every week or however often you need to be so that none of them get sold out, so that you get a true reading as to what people want to buy. If you're sold out of something and some designs sell out in a week, if you don't replenish that and you check 30 days later, you're going to say, okay, it's sold in 30 days, but really it's sold in a week. Your turnover was four times what you thought it was. collecting your data right and handling the inventory in the store while you're doing your testing is important.
So all this data should be documented because you're going to use this as ammo when you approach the buyers.
That's right. And even when I'm selling to an independent store, I want to do it that way with them too. Once you get some data together and you want to sell the independent store, you want to take the same approach. You want to tell them, hey, this stuff sells. We've had it in this store. They sold out in a month. And you want to use that same data with them. For the big chains, you want to have a preponderance of data. For the little ones, knowing that a store down the street sold some is probably better than nothing, and it might be enough to get you in there.
How can I evaluate if my product's got direct mail potential or catalog potential without having to spend any money?
Sort of like what you did with, are you ready for the mass market? And if your product is appropriate, you went and looked. You do the same thing with, say, let's start with catalogs. There is a directory you can get at a library or buy. It is a directory of all the mail order catalog companies in the United States. And this thing is like 800 pages long and has maybe 10 or 20,000 catalogs in there. It's broken out in categories. So if you have an automotive product, you go in there and look at the automotive section and find the 50 catalogs that sell automotive. Get samples of their catalogs and find out what's in there now. And do they have your category? If you're making motor oil, the chances are pretty good that people don't sell that by mail. And you won't find any oil in an automotive catalog. That's the best way to find out, is what do they sell now. The second thing is, just like we did for mass market, where you look at the retail price and divide it by five, same thing with a mail order catalog. Dividing it by five is a good idea there, too, even though they're not going through two steps of distribution. It's one step, but there's a tremendously high cost associated with mailing millions of catalogs. So that step is similar to the two steps in a retail environment. If you can't sell your product to the mail order catalog company at a fifth of the retail price, you might not have an opportunity.
Can you give me some ideas on how I can sell to independent gift, stationery, and specialty retailers for testing my product?
Yeah, this is a market I've been in, so I'm very familiar with it. And there is a very interesting and seemingly illogical thing that goes on here. In the independent stores, whether it's gift and stationery or toys or whatever independent stores, if the product is not packaged, it doesn't have a UPC code on it, doesn't have packaging, it's loose. And here's this product loose in a little bin with two dozen more of them loose. Those products sell for more money than the same product would if it were packaged and in a Target, which seems weird because you're adding a lot of cost in the packaging. And the reason why is because when a product is loose in bulk in an independent store, it does not look like it's something sold in a mass market. The one thing like a Hallmark store can't have, or a gift store, if they have anything in there that looks like the same thing could be bought at a Walmart for half what they sell it for, then no one will buy it. They'll go to Walmart. So they have a different type of product they sell and a different way they sell it. When we were selling stickers, we had stickers on rolls that were just loose, you know, like a roll of stamps. And we had displays that would hold 100 rolls. And needless to say, this made a mess in the stores because kids were tearing them off. But we could sell a sticker on a roll like that for more money than we could sell it shrink-wrapped on a hook on a Target. It cost us less, but it has the image and environment of being a different kind of thing. The customer in the store knows that they couldn't buy a sticker on a roll from a Walmart. They don't have stuff like that. So they know if they like that thing, they have to get it here at this store. So that's the whole idea of the bulk as opposed to package. And if you want to sell something to an independent retailer, a gift stationery or specialty retailer of any kind, you don't want to go in there with your package with your UPC code on it, the packaging you would use for a Target or a Walmart, because as soon as they see that, that smells mass market to them, and they don't want any part of it.
So do you think if I get stats on loose product, bulk product, and I get a success in the gifts and stationery and specialty retailers, that same success would equal a packaged product in the mass merchandisers?
It would be the first step. That's step one, because it's not identical to what the mass market's going to buy. So step one is to sell it loose in bulk or however the retailer you're dealing with needs it. Step two is to package it like it would be in a Walmart and then get some sales in a few stores that will take it that way, like a grocery store, a drug store. There are plenty of stores that will also take and want it packaged with a UPC code on it so they can scan it. Then you'll have numbers of the exact same thing packaged the same way that you'll take those to the big chain.
How can I find out if my product's suitable for, say, the advertising specialty industry or the premium markets?
My first company was in those industries, and they're good markets, too, and a lot of people might not think of them. Advertising specialties and premiums are two different things. An advertising specialty is basically a product that has an imprint on it or a company logo. When you think of a pen with an IBM logo or a t-shirt with a logo on it, premiums, as a rule, do not have logos, but the definition difference is an advertising specialty is something that's given away for free with no obligation, such as the life insurance salesman gives you a pen. A premium is something you have to do something to get. You have to buy the Happy Meal to get the toy. You have to buy the Cracker Jack to get the toy. You have to buy something, and then you get it. So that's what a premium is. With an advertising specialty or a premium, that difference doesn't sound like much, but they have different trade associations, they have different trade shows, they have different distribution networks and different salespeople. The way to tell if your product is going to work on the web, you can go to a number of different websites, which I'll have on my website links to, that will have 600,000 products in the industry. And the nice thing about the advertising specialty industry is it's really easy to research all your competitors. You get to see all their prices and all their terms, because that's how this industry works. And they have codes that tell you what the costs are. So once you understand all that, you can see what your competitor is selling a product for, and pricing, their terms, and everything. So this is the easiest industry there is to understand what's going on. The thing that makes it unique is that you need to be able to decorate or print or embroider or however you're going to put on there the logo or the advertising message. If you make pens, but you don't have any way to put some company's name on the pen, then you might be able to sell to an ad specialty manufacturer who will do that. But to be in that industry, you have to be able to put XYZ company's name on 144 pens. So it isn't an advertising specialty unless it has an advertising imprint on it. And the key to being in that business is that you have to have the ability to imprint small quantity orders very quickly. So that is a specialty thing. If you can't do that, then you might want to find someone who can. But a lot of the people in the industry now will offer $100 worth of something with a custom imprint shipped in 48 hours. So it's a huge industry. There's 65,000 people out there selling this stuff. So if your product is suitable for that, and if you look in the product directories, you'll see there's thousands of categories of products. So most products do have a market here. And in the premium side of things, they have a separate premium show, and there's several kinds of premiums. When we had our stickers in the premium market, we were a low-end premium. That was where we were selling things for a few cents. I did a special group of stickers for Wendy's for their Happy Meals, but that's all very inexpensive stuff. Premiums also can be color TVs, widescreen TVs, expensive electronics that are $5,000. Those can also be premiums, and those are usually used as sales incentives. You make your budget this quarter and you win the TV, and also they use a lot of travel as premiums. You see companies having travel, people who qualify get to go to Hawaii or whatever. Yet one other way you can possibly sell your product is through infomercials, and we're all familiar with those, the 30-minute shows on TV where they're trying to get you to buy something. The criteria for that used to be it can't be available in stores, but nowadays that's not the issue anymore. But what is an issue is it needs to be a demonstrable product. You have to be able to visually show what it does. One product I thought that was pretty cool I saw in an infomercial was a car wax. And you may think, a car wax, how do you demonstrate that? That's pretty boring. But what they did is they said, this car wax is impenetrable. So they took a Ferrari and they put the car wax on it, and then they dumped gasoline on it and lit it on fire. So they got this $200,000 car with flames coming off the hood, and they put it out, and then they wiped out the residue and it looked good as new. So that's an example of an eye-catching demonstration for the product. And then the other primary thing you need is a huge margin. Where we've been talking of 5 times markup for direct mail catalogs or retail stores, you need 10 times for infomercials. And that's because the TV time is so expensive. But if your product is appropriate for an infomercial, some of the products that are on there that you see over and over have done $50 or $100 million in sales that way. If your product is appropriate for it, you definitely need to look into this, and we can help you with that too. But because of the numbers, you don't have to worry about, is it in the store? Are they going to merchandise it right? How do you get it there? You can do the whole thing in one step on TV. If your product's appropriate, and if you hit a home run, you're talking $50 or $60 million.
Do you think there's a lot of successful infomercial products that have never even tried to approach the mass merchandisers?
I think usually if it works on TV, they're going to the mass market, and they're going to put As Seen on TV on the packaging. One stat I've heard on infomercials, talking to Ted Thomas in real estate and a few other people who do these a lot, 20 years ago the rules were different. Now they want broadcast quality, and ballpark it costs $250,000 to produce an infomercial, and the rule of thumb is 1 out of 10 work. So you can see the numbers are sort of interesting. But I do have a source that will be on the website with a link for you where I found a company who, if they like your idea, they will fund the whole thing. They will create the infomercial to test it. They will run it, and they'll roll it out. You don't have to do anything. You make 5%. If you produce the product and you pay for the $250,000 to produce the commercial, then they'll handle it for you too, and then you split it 50-50.
Okay, so again, another option for someone who doesn't have money and doesn't have a product that can get started and possibly get in just with an idea.
That's right. You could have an idea. You could make $20 million from your idea with using other people's money. In summary, this Section 3, we've gone over other ways to get started aside from the mass market that in and of themselves can be good markets and you can make a lot of money in them, but are all ways of developing the proof you need to sell to a Walmart or a Target. The next section, Section 4, we're going to talk about figuring out how big is your market.
This is the end of Section 3. Please continue to Section 4.